fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore coming to you live from deep in the mountains of the Missouri Ozarks. On Friday, the 21st day of September, year of our Lord, 2018, welcome to the John Moore Show. Of course, the headlines have to do with, will this woman testify, this Christine Blasey Ford, or will she not? We shall see. It's turning out now that she has economic financial ties to a company, Concept Therapeutics, that manufactures drugs that if a woman takes them, it makes her baby die, abortion drugs. That's a very significant connection here, I believe. Quick reminder, we're at the moment, we're still archiving this show on YouTube. As of the end of September, we'll no longer archive on YouTube and only archive on Real Video and, of course, Republic Broadcasting's archives, which has always been there. So you need to be making the switch. We will maintain the old YouTube archives indefinitely and switch over to Real Video only archives as of the 1st of October. So that's your reminder there. Prepper tip of the day. If you don't have a spool, a parachute cord, 550 cord, I encourage you to get a spool. When I say a spool is typically 1,000 or more feet. It's a pretty good chunk of cord. Parachute cord is incredibly useful for hundreds of different purposes, and it's just good to have around. I always have parachute cord around. I've been using it for basically half a century for all kinds of things. It's a great handy tool to have around, parachute cord. Get a spool of it to save a little money. Okay. I think we're ready to get to the main topic, which is emergency survival radio communications. This is what we do the first hour every Friday with my friend Tom Berryhill. Tom Berryhill began a quest more than half a century ago to become quite knowledgeable in not only ham radio, but also electronics and radio frequency communications in general. And we have these discussions every Friday, and welcome your calls at 800-313-3148. 9443. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, John. Good morning. How are you doing today?
Well, real good. It looks like we got a rain day here in South Central Missouri, which changed my plans a bit. I was hoping to get a motorcycle ride in today, but I have ridden in the rain just to see what it was like, and I prefer not to. It was one of those things that just kind of popped up. I didn't have my proper rain gear with me, so I just had my my armored jacket, which I never leave home without, and regular attire. It was an absolute drenching downpour, but I learned a lot, including it's not fun.
No, it's not.
Not fun at all. Well, Tom, our local preparedness group, we took delivery of a dozen of these Baofeng radios recently. One of our members, he's a paramedic and chaplain for the police department. He's been programming them. I had him program in some extra channels for me, some ham radio repeater channels and ham radio simplex and some MERS simplex frequencies, which I make use of all those things. Ready to begin my own testing. The first thing I did, of course, was charge up all the batteries. I got multiple extra batteries, both the regular capacity, standard capacity, and ones that take AA batteries, which, of course, can be rechargeable. So I've got the maximum flexibility there in terms of having going out into the bush and having as much power as I need. Being on an operation and having your radio fail because of lack of battery power would, that just could ruin your whole day, couldn't it?
Yeah, it really will. Another interesting option for a lot of these radios, portables especially, is that adapter that allows you to plug it into the cigarette lighter socket in a car for charging,
right,
and to just use it.
Plug it into a larger 12-volt battery in a backpack.
That's very true. Yes, it would work great.
Tom, we had a listener yesterday. She called in asking, her daughter lives 35 miles from her, and she was inquiring. She says, John, what walkie-talkie can I get that will reach that far? And I said, well, there isn't one. And she mentioned what we call, it's a derogatory term, these blister pack radios they sell at the big box stores. Most of the big box stores have them, Sporting Goods and Walmart and so forth. Typically, they're a Motorola, or they could be another brand, and they'll say on the back side of it, you can talk 10 miles, or 15, or 20, or 40. She mentioned one that said you talk 40 miles. And I said, I basically told her that was a fantasy, that possibly from one hot air balloon to another, you could talk that far with handy talkies, but otherwise it's not going to happen. Then I mentioned that if she had her ham radio license, she would have access to repeaters, assuming the repeaters are working, and assuming there's some in her area that would allow her to talk to her daughter using handy talkies. People, they get so used, you know, there's cell phones are two-way radios is what they are. We don't think of them that way. Most people don't. I do. You do. But cell phones are two-way radios. And we take for granted that we can pick one up, these tiny radios with less than 2 watts of transmitting power, and talk to somebody on the other side of the planet, and take that as something that translates into any radio. That's what people do, don't they, Tom?
Yeah, they do. And the cell phone technology is an incredible system, very complex. Everything's interconnected, towers everywhere. So your little tiny phone that you hold in your hand with no visible antenna on it works quite well because there's almost always a tower very close by, except in very rural areas. There's some spots around here where they don't work at all, but it's pretty rare to find a dead spot anymore nowadays. So, you know, with that kind of infrastructure, you're going to have good communications. But we start talking about ham radio and other types of systems, any two-way radio system, that infrastructure is right in your mobile unit or the portable unit you're carrying by hand. And the distant station you're talking to has the same. So there is nothing in between except the air that you're transmitting through. And this way, you're going to be, really have a huge letdown if you buy those little blister pack type radios and expect anything more. I mean, maybe a quarter of a mile. I don't think they'll go much farther than that, John. I've never really tried one any great distance, but they're very low powered and they don't go very far. And it leaves a lot of people disgusted and they just give up. Unless you're on a mountaintop or something like that, it's just not going to work. Now, in this lady's case, if she was a ham operator, probably a good frequency for that would be 6 meters. You could easily cover 30 miles or so, and 6 meters would do it. 2 meters would also do it, be 144 to 148 megahertz, anywhere in that band. And then most people are going to use FM. If you're doing really weak signal work, the single sideband type of mode would work a lot better. But FM will probably do it. If you had two base stations on 2 meters, you could easily do that with no problems at all.
Absolutely. Well, I hope she's listening today and she's paying attention. And it takes a little bit of effort, a little bit of time, hardly any money, ladies and gentlemen, to study for and get your ham radio license. Now, in this case, this woman and her daughter would both have to have a ham radio license, have compatible equipment, 2 meter mobile units. I think have the most flexibility as opposed to 2 meter handy talkies or base stations, because you can use a mobile unit as a base station, but it's more difficult and not as easy to use a base station as a mobile unit, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's true. And almost everything nowadays offered for ham radio use operates on 12 volts. So in almost every case, if you buy a unit for base operation or a mobile unit, it's going to require 12-volt power supply, whether that be the 12-volt system in an automobile or truck or a power supply that you'd plug into the wall outlet that would supply 12 volts to operate that radio. Of course, you're going to need some pretty heavy current depending on the power of the radio. If it's a 50-watt radio, you know, you might need a maybe I would get a 20-amp power supply to make sure you have some extra capacity there. You can run other equipment off that at the same time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I've been installing radios since the early 1970s, starting out with CB radios, which were very popular back then. I received training from a mutual, well, he's not your friend, but you know of this gentleman, who taught me to do installations to quote-unquote NATO specs. I don't always take the time to do that, but I frequently do my installations to NATO specifications. As a consequence, my installations will operate flawlessly for many years, quite reliably, until I move the radio to another vehicle or whatever I decide to do with that equipment. For a man or a woman who doesn't have these skills, this is another reason to become part of a ham radio club, because there will be men and women in a ham radio club who know how to do installations of this equipment so that it's clean and tight and well laid out. It will be safe and reliable for many years. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's correct. And if you get involved with a local ham radio club, there will be all kinds of people with various levels of expertise and are always willing to share that knowledge and help people get set up. What you have to keep in mind when setting up this equipment is if it's high power, if you're running a very high power type mobile unit, you can't have mediocre connections. You have to make sure they're crimped properly. Any kind of voltage drop across any connection you made will heat up quite dramatically in some cases. Could actually start a fire or just overheat, and you'll lose a lot of power through that connection. So you want to make sure everything's crimped properly, in some cases even soldered. But you pay attention to those simple details, you'll have a very well laid out installation. It'll work quite quite well.
Well, the details include using the proper size wire. If you use wire that's too small, that can cause for your power cord from the battery to the radio, that can cause heat problems and danger as well, can't it?
Yes, it can, and so you have to be very careful about that. And in many cases on a mobile unit, some people will elect to install a radio and maybe connect to the frame of the car somewhere under the dash, something like that. I've always run two wires, a black and a red wire, large size, all the way out to the battery and made the connection right at the battery post.
I think that's the best way to go.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely the best way to go. Sometimes you need a filter. You might need a filter if there's any alternator whine, any noise like that. That won't always show up on an FM-type radio, but if you're operating single sideband from a mobile unit, you might get a little bit of alternator noise. And in these modern cars, the electronics generates an incredible amount of noise. So sometimes you might need some filters. They're called chokes, and what they do is they pass the DC current. They let the DC current go through that operates the equipment, but they will hold back and attenuate any type of noise that could cause improper operation.
Well, the installation on my town car, Tom, I ran a two wires, positive, negative, from the battery to a fuse block where the radios were being installed, and then everything, all the radios connected into the fuse block. It's not all that complex. If you have never done it before, it may be a bit intimidating. But once again, is another reason to work with the ham radio guys and gals, because they're not intimidated by it. This is routine stuff for them. They have all the tools. They have the knowledge. They know where to get the various parts, the proper cabling, wires, connectors, and so forth, to do a nice, clean, tight installation that will be safe and to give proper service many years into the future. So I'm talking to the woman that called yesterday, and want to let her know that she doesn't have to have all this knowledge. She doesn't have to own a box full of tools. She doesn't have to know where to get all this stuff, because all she needs to do, really, is get involved with the local ham radio club, where all that work behind the scenes has already been done by the men and women in the ham radio club, and it's like falling off a porch for them. It's nothing. It's just routine stuff that they do and have been doing typically for 20, 30 or more years, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's correct, John. And many of the ham operators learn from their mistakes. So they've made every mistake you can think of along the way, and they know what not to do. So when it comes to hooking up your new equipment that you just purchased, these men and women can get involved with you and help you avoid a lot of the mistakes that they made early on. And you'll have a flawless connection set up there with your equipment to the battery supply or the power supply or in the car or however you have it set up. It'll be flawless, and it'll work first time out. You'll be on the air, and you can concentrate on your on-the-air style and meet new people and the different club members, and you learn as you go. And I've always described it as an apprenticeship when you get started. And the others that have more skills will always be more than happy to share that with you. And you'll be up to speed before you know it.
Well, Tom, ironically, the most difficult thing about doing the installation on a town car was penetrating the firewall to get the black and red wires through the firewall from the engine compartment where the battery is to the cabin where the people ride and the radio's going to go. I worked with a local technician to find a suitable pre-existing hole that I could make use of and piggyback on. I really didn't want to punch a new hole through the firewall, which can lead to other problems. But we got it done. That's the main thing. Here's our break. Call number is 800-313-9443.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by...
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in
Okay, we're back, Winston. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 21st of September. Quick reminder, we will no longer post my videos, my archives on YouTube, after the end of this month, September, and only be posting on Reel.video. That's the platform set up by Mike Adams. I'll be meeting Mike when I'm in Dallas in November. Looking forward to meeting Mike at the Operation Classified event, where I will be one of the speakers the 9th, 10th, and 11th of November. We're talking about emergency survival communications with my friend Tom Berryhill. Now, Tom, what I'm doing is working to encourage people to take the necessary steps so that in the event of a severe grid down emergency, cell phones don't work, and all it takes is too many phone calls to have the cell phones not work. That's all it takes, and nothing needs to be broken. System overload. And so that this woman who called yesterday can talk to her daughter, all the listeners listening right now can talk to whoever they need to talk to. But this, the preparation to be able to do that needs to be done in advance, because after the event, well, it's simply not going to happen, is it, Tom?
No, it won't happen at all. So many people think that getting into ham radio is as simple as buying a cell phone. You charge it up, you start using it. It's not that simple. You have to learn the procedures. You have to learn how to install the equipment. It's not really difficult, but there is a little bit of preparation has to be made before you can actually put this all on the air. But then remember that once you are on the air, you don't have to rely on any type of cell phone technology. You own the infrastructure that will be your ham radio station and will allow you to transmit over great distances. So if this lady that called yesterday, John, is interested in becoming a ham radio operator, they'll be well on their way to getting a system like this set up. They'll have no problem at all communicating over 32 miles. That would be, as a matter of fact, the curvature of the Earth, the horizon, is about 32 miles from where you're standing. So if there's no obstructions in the way, you can just about see 32 miles, and that's where the curvature then drops off. So the radio waves will propagate over that distance quite readily, and it wouldn't take too much effort to communicate those types of distances. They'd have crystal clear communication. So it's really something for these ladies to look into.
It is. It is. And I want to encourage them. Don't be intimidated. If we routinely, and I have to keep mentioning this, we routinely have 8-year-old boys and girls taking and passing their ham radio tests. That's how simplistic this is. It really is simplistic. Yeah, it doesn't take a whole lot of studying. It doesn't take a whole lot of time. It takes a little time and a little studying. Just bite the bullet, look into it. You'll be real pleased when you find out how easy it is to get started in this, get your ham radio license. It's just as important to get involved in a local ham radio club. Most communities of any size of say, once you get to a community of, say, 5,000 or more, there's almost always going to be a ham radio club. Won't there, Tom?
Most of the time, and if there isn't, you don't have to go too far to find one. In any metropolitan area, there'll be numerous ham radio clubs. So there'll be no problems finding people that have these groups, and you can join readily and get started. It's pretty easy to do. And, John, they've relaxed the testing requirements over the past 10 years or so, 10, 15 years, and it's easier than ever to get started. And the reason for a lot of this is the equipment is just about plug and play. You buy it, you hook up antennas, it's pretty simple. And it's not like the old days where you had to make transmitter adjustments constantly as you changed frequencies and so on. And that made it where the technical requirements were more stringent, because the FCC wanted to make sure that those transmitters were adjusted properly and didn't cause interference to other services. So a lot of that's gone by the wayside, and the equipment is very reliable nowadays and much simpler to set up and operate. So it's easier than ever before, and the testing requirements are easy enough to where if you studied for maybe 3 weeks, every night, maybe every couple of days, just do some online study, and the online testing sites are available that will allow you to take a sample test, and you'll see where your skill levels are, and you'll see where you need to brush up and try a little harder in certain areas. And I really think that almost anybody after 3 weeks of study would be able to pass that test.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We got a call on hold here. We'll get started with Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry. Hold, Jerry. Hold on. Sorry. We got a break. Hold on, Jerry.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com, or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Right, we are back, Leslie. We're back. J.R. Moore here on Friday, the 21st of September. My website is thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Got something new posted there on my website. You scroll down the left side, you'll see images of machine guns, rocket launchers, mortars. I am a broker for these items. If you would like to own machine guns or rockets or mortars, contact me, and we'll figure out how to make that happen. In most of the 50 states, I believe 36 out of 50 states, you can own all these items if you're willing to go through all the proper paperwork, get the proper license, and spend a lot of money. But one of the main reasons I post this here is to let people know how much freedom we do have in this country if you're willing to jump through all the hoops necessary. I have friends that do have these kinds of licenses, and they know how to have fun. They really do. Also, on our website, of course, you'll find energy claims for sale. This is my home business. When you place your order, I'm the guy that boxes them up. I take them to the Little Country Post Office in Cherryville, Missouri. I put them on the counter, the wood counter, which is, it looks like it's about 90 years old. I ship them out priority mail to you all over the planet. Only $285 shipping included. If you have arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, what in the world are you waiting for? Why procrastinate? Get yourself an energy cleaner. Get your life back. Not getting a great night's sleep? Well, keep in mind what my wife, Dr. Moore, says. When you sleep is when you heal. Get yourself an energy cleaner. And keep in mind the following as well. I offer for me to you personally a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's for me to you personally. So they're in stock, ready for immediate shipment. The mattress pads are in stock, ready for immediate shipment. You can place your order right there at my website at thelibertyman.com using PayPal, MasterCard, Visa. You can send me a check or a money order. My address is there as well. Or you can call my toll-free order line 24 hours a day. I won't be picking up the phone. Don't try to call me. This is an order line only, 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. This is Friday, and we're talking about emergency survival communications, and we got a caller on hold here, Jerry in Texas. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, John. Tom, you're just talking about the curvature of the earth. I'm surprised John hasn't gotten in touch with you and discussed that. Somebody called in the other day, absolutely sure that the earth was flat. Just messing with you, John.
Not on my show.
Well, it wasn't on your show? I thought somebody called us.
I did mention the flat earth theory a few days back, but the last call, I only had one caller, and I gave him 2 minutes. That was about 3 years ago. And I let my engineer know he would not be welcome back.
I'll tell you, there are all sorts of people. I guess I fall in that category somewhere or the other. Tom, I wanted to ask you, I started reading up this 5G. I know it's kind of off topic. This 5G cell phone is coming out. What I read, it don't sound like it's real viable, especially for us people that live out in the country. What I read is running between 30 and 300 gigahertz.
Well,
do you know anything about that?
A little bit. I haven't really kept up on the cell phone, the latest technology with these cell phones, but those are like millimeter waves where the wavelength is very, very short. And it will work better, I would think, in metropolitan areas. And, of course, that's most likely where it will be launched first. It may then creep into the rural areas, but it's going to take a lot of infrastructure, towers everywhere. You know, if you just look at buildings, Jerry, as you drive by, you'll see towers, you'll see antenna arrays on the corners of buildings, even just three stories off the ground. They put these antenna systems and the cellular base stations almost everywhere where they can squeeze them in. If there's a dip in the road, you'll see that could cause an outage in an area. You'll see a tower or a antenna array on the top of a small building. Even anything they can do to saturate that area with the signal. I've seen cell phone towers disguised to look like trees, and it's amazing. Flagpoles, they have flagpoles that are cell phone towers. It's just everywhere. And the 5G, though, it's the wavelength is very short, so it's maybe it penetrates tissue better. I don't know. I'm on the fence with it. I'll be reading up on it more as things progress. A lot of people are scared of it. I really just don't have an opinion just yet. I really need to learn more about it myself. It's just hard to say, Jerry. But you're correct. It's not going to be the best in a rural area because the towers will be farther apart. And I'm sure that the rural areas will just continue to rely on the lower frequency systems. And maybe down the road they'll increase that technology. But it's going to be difficult in a rural area. They need a lot of structures to put the antennas on. They're either going to have to put up towers or they're going to have to find buildings that are close by, or maybe they'll just put it on everybody's house. I don't know.
I read an article here a few months ago, dropped it after that, because AT&T had come out with an article that they had a new cell phone system that's coming out for the rural areas that would be mounted on the utility poles, the power poles in a rural area. And I thought, well, that's a good way to go. And then after reading some of this 5G technology here recently, I suspect that's what AT&T is looking to do, is to set those things up you know, every third or fourth fold, depending on how far apart they are, to cover it. But what I read, they won't even penetrate trees. It's very, like I say, very short wave. It will not go through glass or anything else. It's information I got. I don't know what extent. But like you say, we're dependent on the infrastructure, whereas if you've got ham radio, it's a standalone. Matter of fact, just FYI, I'm going for my test probably the first week in October. They're having a ham fest in Waco, Texas.
Well, that's great, Jerry. That's good news.
I've been wanting to do that ever since. I'm 66, and I've been wanting to do it nearly all my life. And I finally got down to that round to it. I'm kind of excited. I'm going to try to get my general. Not that I know what I'm doing, but maybe I can learn, as you say, and talk to some of our people. A good friend of mine just became a ham operator here a few months ago, and I can't talk to him about anything else. It always marks the ham radio. One question. The old two-type radios versus new technology. I know you talked about it's plug and play and a lot simpler to operate. But my way of thinking, a simple country boy like me, it's a little harder to work on. What's your input on that?
Well, if you enjoy that type of technology, you can get some tube equipment. To get started, I would get some, you get your technician license first, Jerry. I would get some 2-meter equipment. That's where you're going to find most of the activity in your area, most likely, and you can branch out from there. If you want to get tube equipment, now I would not get tube equipment for VHF or UHF unless you really want to get into it, and that would be some maybe older commercial equipment, which can still be used, but it takes a little bit of work to get those things up and running. Whereas the newer solid state type of equipment that you can buy for just $200 or $300, you'll get a really nice unit that could be used at home or in the car, and works on 12 volts. You'll need a power supply if you want to operate it at your house, and an antenna. You can build your own antenna if you'd like. They're not hard to make. All types of construction articles online can be found. Just search 2-meter antenna. You'll find everything you can think of. And you'll be on the air for just maybe $300 or so. And then if you want to get some tube equipment and experiment and work with that, that's the nice thing about ham radio. You're encouraged to experiment and build your own equipment and retrofit and change and make it better, so to speak. You can get some antique-type tube equipment and modify it to any extent that you wish to do, as long as you stay within the FCC regulations as to power and frequency bands and so on, you'll be fine. And there's entire subcultures of ham operators that do that very type of work. They focus on the older tube equipment. They have their own networks. They get on at night and talk about the equipment and the modifications they're making, things like that. And you can listen in on some of these guys and hear what they're talking about. And, of course, if you have your general class license, a lot of this is on the HF bands, but if you have your general class license, you'll be able to get on there and talk to them about what you're doing, and they'll share ideas with you. I have some tube equipment. In fact, some of my favorite equipment is tube-type equipment. My favorite receiver is a Drake R4B, and I use it all the time. It's an analog dial. There's no digital readouts, no menus, no nothing, but it's just, when I was a kid, I really wanted one of those, but it was beyond my reach financially, so I bought one when my wallet was a little bit thicker, and of course now it's considered an antique, but it's a very nice receiver, one of my favorites, and it's still very viable to put that on the air and use it on a regular basis. I use it for shortwave listening as well as listening to the ham radio bands. So
that was my next question.
Sure.
When I go to get start getting my equipment, I've got a couple of little handy talkies about, well, I don't, John mentioned it earlier. that will work on, I guess it's UHF and VHF. But when I get a base radio, I'd like to be able to pick up the shortwave too. I guess they're readily available, a plug and play, as you call it.
Okay, now if you get some HF type ham equipment, Jerry, you're going to have no trouble using it for general coverage shortwave, because almost all of those transceivers nowadays, they run on 12 volts, they're solid state, most of them run around 100 watts, and they'll transmit in the ham bands, but they also offer general coverage for the entire shortwave spectrum, and they make excellent shortwave radios. I mean, absolutely the best. So almost any of the transceivers available, whether it be ICOM, Yaesu, Kenwood, they all make very good equipment. And there's even another brand, Alenco. Yeah, you can pick out what you want from one of those. You can search that equipment online and see what there'll be discussion groups that will offer their opinions on the various equipment, and they rate it. You can see what the ratings are, and you pick out one that works good for you, and you'll have no trouble using it as a shortwave receiver. As a matter of fact, some of them are even very good to use in the AM radio band. Now, a lot of the equipment, though, they have filters in the front end of the receiver to attenuate the signals from the what they call medium wave, which is the AM broadcast band. And the reason for that is you may have an AM station in your area that could actually overpower that receiver and cause it to be not as sensitive as you would require for your shortwave spectrum. So they attenuate the broadcast band. Although there are several pieces of late model ham equipment that will actually be very sensitive in the medium wave band or the AM broadcast band. And one piece of equipment I have is an ICOM 7410. That transceiver is an excellent AM broadcast radio, very sensitive in the broadcast band, and it's a very good all-around transceiver. So
that's that's one thing I was looking for. We're out in a rural area, and any kind of reception, radio, it says, our TV, for that matter, is hit and miss. We haven't had TV for 10 years, but that aside, I want something that I can pick up some local AM radios just for local news, and that's good to know. So that's ICON 7410, you say?
That's correct. It's an IC. Okay. If you go online and search ICOM 7410, you'll find all kinds of information. You can go on YouTube, and there's videos on there of guys operating things and showing all the fine details of how it works. It's I really like that piece of equipment. I've seen used ones for $750. So it was probably about twice that when it came out. I don't remember what I paid for mine. I did buy it new. There's a few accessories you can get with it, some various filters to narrow the bandwidth for Morse code use and things like that. But as it comes stock right out of the box, it's a very good piece of equipment. You can update it a little bit as you go if required, but a lot of the ham operators just use them the way they are, and they're fine.
Well, I that's good to know, because it seems like the Yaesu is, or Yaesu, how you want to pronounce it, is seems to be the radio of choice around here that people I talk to. And it's kind of like Ford Chevrolet or Dodge. It depends on where you're at and who you talk to, which one's the most favored.
Yeah, that's really true. I have some older Kenwood equipment, ICOM and Yaesu. I have a Yaesu FT857D, and that's what I don't have it installed now in the car, but that's what I did use in the car or pickup truck, and it works very, very well. It's a compact radio. It's 100 watts, but it's also It's HF, so it covers the shortwave bands. It can be used as a shortwave radio, and then it also covers the VHF and UHF bands. So it goes up through the 450 megahertz bands, and it's AM, FM, single sideband, CW or Morse code, and FM. It operates all the different modes, and it's very compact. It has a small dial. Some complaints about that. The dial can be kind of difficult to read because of its smaller size. But aside from that, it's a very nice piece of equipment.
And what was that again?
Yaesu FT-857.
All right.
Hey,
Jerry, thank you for the call, sir. We appreciate it.
Hey, y'all have a good weekend.
Okay, we have our last break coming up. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
All right, we are back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Jerry Moore here on Friday the 21st of September. Well, Tom, I think we've had some interesting dialogue here, helping people to understand the importance of getting a ham radio license, helping people understand that it's really not all that difficult, hardly costs any money, and we just keep encouraging them, and we'll continue doing this every week, won't we, sir?
Yes, we will, John, and of course the license is the first step. You'll be assigned a call sign, and that's your That's how you'll be known on the air, and you'll make new friends, and it's an ongoing education. And I always encourage anybody interested in this, if they have any children, they know young people that are interested, bring them along. Try to get them involved, because they will get an education out of this world if they start at a young age and learn about this technology. By the time they're an adult, they will be in demand. There are numerous job openings in the communications industry. It's a well-paying job, and they'll have quite an interesting career their whole life. So they can start out and learn the basics with the ham radio and go from there. It's a continuing education. It really is.
Well, there's a saying, and it's frequently, not all the time, but frequently true, that you don't pick your career picks you. And that's pretty much the case for myself and for you, both of us, isn't it, Tom?
I'd say you're 100% correct on that, John.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And I know for when I was, I got my college degree, did not even exist when I was a senior in high school as a paralegal. So it's a fast-changing world. It's been a fast-changing world for decades. But one thing remains a constant, and that's the need for people with excellent skills when it comes to electronics, radio frequency engineering. That will be an area of needed expertise and needed skill sets for many decades into the future. Right, Tom?
That's really true, and ham radio is a good start. I know people that have been involved in the hiring process at some of these companies that are involved in communications and electronics, and several of these people have told me that they take notice when somebody fills out an application or sends in a resume and they find out that they're a ham radio operator. They pay attention to that because they know that that person has already put forth the effort to train themselves in these various modes of communication. So that company knows that it won't take much to then bring that person up to speed with the technology that particular company is using. That person already has the basics covered, and it's it really puts them in a really good position to get an excellent, high-paying job.
Absolutely. Well, the HR people, human resources, they're trained to look for certain things, look for certain skill sets, and this is a excellent way for a hobby to become a fun and rewarding lifelong career. It's something to encourage youngsters to get involved with, right, Tom?
Yeah, that's very true, John. And, you know, there's nothing more satisfying than having a job that is almost like going to work as it's a hobby, and you go to work and you get paid for doing things that you enjoy.
That's right. Tom, thank you, sir. We'll talk privately soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, John.
Got a top of the hour break. We'll be back with Dr. Leonard Wilbert. Stay tuned.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Your
are listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.